This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Blinken talks tough with Russia over grain. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. Live from the BBC World Service, I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks so much for joining us and a very good morning to you. The US Secretary of State has told the BBC that Russia needs to rejoin the Black Sea grain deal to help African countries. Anthony Blinken also said the Economic Community of West African States had Washington's full support for its position on the recent military coup in Niger. The group had been given coup leaders in Niamey 7 days to step down or face military intervention. He's been telling the BBC's Wahinga Morara he's worried supporters of the coup in Niger have been seen waving Russian flags.
And here's why we're concerned. Because every single place that this group, Wagner Group, has gone, death, destruction and exploitation have followed. I think what happened and what continues to happen in Niger was not instigated by Russia or by Wagner, but to the extent that they try to take advantage of it, that wouldn't be good.
For those who support the halting of the Black Sea grain deal or a relook at it, they argue that the West is mainly concerned about Russia's growing influence over Africa, and the issue isn't just about food supply, bearing in mind only 3% of Ukraine's grain actually got to the African continent. Do you have any views on that?
The majority of the grain that was getting out through the Black Sea Grain Initiative, more than 50% was going to developing countries, including many in Africa, 2/3 of the wheat. Resolving this situation, Russia getting back into the Black Sea Grain Initiative, would be the quickest thing anyone could do to actually effectively address food insecurity. We are by far the largest donor to the World Food Program. We provide 50% of its budget. Russia, by the way, provides less than 1% of its budget. We're also very focused on how we make sure that we are giving countries the capacity to produce food themselves on a sustainable basis. When I met a year ago with many foreign ministers from African countries on the margins of a special summit we convene on food security at the United Nations, what I heard from my colleagues was, yes, we appreciate very much the emergency assistance, but even more, we're looking for sustainable, productive capacity at home. That's what the United States is focused on. We're trying to make sure that countries develop the means to produce food for themselves and, for that matter, for their neighbors.
That was U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken speaking to Wahinga Morara. This week, South American leaders are meeting in the Brazilian city of Belém to discuss measures to save the Amazon rainforest. Nemo Gaquita, a Huaorani indigenous leader from Ecuador, says bold action is needed.
The forest isn't an oil well. It's not a gold mine. It's our temple, our home, our supermarket, our school, and the home of our spirits. That's why we also ask the major world leaders, not only the presidents of Amazon countries, to do strong work on the ground in conservation.
Instead of deforestation, villages in the Amazon are being courted by companies looking to offset their own carbon footprint by buying carbon credits. The BBC's South America correspondent Katie Watson explains what the summit will be hoping to achieve.
For a part of Brazil that often feels quite forgotten, the Amazonian city of Belém is enjoying being in the spotlight and warming up ahead of hosting the COP climate summit in 2 years' time. Belém is the capital of Pará, the state with the highest deforestation rate in all of Brazil. President Lula has been keen to showcase the city as part of a push to get the region together, leading the way on how best to protect the Amazon. Among the issues expected to be discussed at the summit are illegal mining and logging, environmental crimes, and human rights abuses inflicted on the more than 30 million people living in the forest. Speaking to the BBC last week, President Lula said that this summit would be a milestone and show the world what the region was capable of doing in tackling climate change.
That was Katie Watson there. Now, let's do the numbers. SoftBank, the Japanese investment bank, spent a third straight quarter in the red, recording a $3.3 billion loss, and Italy's government has spooked the markets with an unexpected tax on banks' windfall profits. Italian banks were the worst performers on Europe's WACC 600, which is down 0.5%. Now let's do more numbers. This is a business programme after all. More bad figures out of China's economy. In July, their exports and imports took a hard hit, falling more than expected. The BBC's Nick Marsh is in Singapore covering it for us. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
So China's exports and imports have fallen sharply in July. I mean, Nick, why?
Well, every time we look at this data coming out of China every month, it just seems to get worse and worse. This wasn't good reading. Let's take the exports first. It's the weakest data we've seen coming out of China since February 2020. And that was when the country was right in the thick of the pandemic, of course. It's mostly to do with China's customers in the rest of the world. So they're spending a lot less due to the high inflation and the high interest rates that we're always talking about. Now, if you're a policymaker in Beijing, that's a difficult problem to deal with because it's not as if you can start forcing other countries to start spending more and buying more of your goods. But given that China is such an export-driven economy, it is something that's going to have policymakers scratching their head. And it's going to put a bit of pressure as well on what happens domestically, trying to drive growth and spending within China to try and compensate for this.
Mm. Nick Marsh in Singapore, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
And finally, Zoom has asked its staff to come back into the office. It's kind of ironic. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.